Every Wednesday, it's a chance to visit with Brian Walton, really dive into the game of baseball and what's happening with the St. Louis Cardinals. Brian covers the minor leagues, also the major leagues at thecardinalnation.com. As always, Brian, great to hear your voice. Wish we were talking about what's happening on the field, but unfortunately, a lot of it is what's happening with the Cardinals off the field, trying to get back on the field. As always, good morning to you. How are things going?
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks since we've been able to watch a St. Louis Cardinals game. Here you make the call on TV, and it's, you know, it's just a difficult and questionable time, right? You never know from hour to hour, let alone day to day, you know, what the next turn, twist and turn is going to be.
Let's dive into what's happening now. So this Friday would be officially 3 weeks from what was opening day when Jack Flaherty delivered that pitch against the Pirates. So most teams will be at the, what, I guess a third of the season for them will be done for a lot of teams. Some teams have hit that point come tonight, come tomorrow. The Cardinals will have played 5 games total. So how can they reasonably fit a schedule of, let's say, 50 to 55 games, 58 games, 60 games, whatever the case may be, in a short amount of time? How can they possibly do this?
Well, at this point, Dan, if the Cardinals were, and this is a big if the Cardinals were able to start play on Friday on schedule in Chicago, 52 games are currently scheduled. Now, that includes 4 doubleheaders in the month of September. So the schedule has gotten pretty jammed already in, you know, rescheduling some of the Detroit and Milwaukee and Chicago games that were postponed already. But right now, if they got started on Friday, they would play 52. The question is, how many more of the 8 will get pushed, you know, and added into the schedule later to try to create, in whatever someone's mind is a legitimate, competitive, fair season. Now, in terms of the actual schedule for the Cardinals to get back, Rob Manfred said that they want to see at least 3 consecutive days without a new positive test before the Cardinals can return. Best case, that would probably say that they could come back Thursday and Friday, probably to work out a couple of days of workouts, and they realistically probably couldn't return until Saturday. And the rumors, just rumors, if they were to return on Saturday, maybe they play a doubleheader on Sunday to make up the game on Friday. But again, at that point, only 52 games are on the schedule. And by the way, that's best case, assuming no more cancellations.
Yeah, and that's, to me, reading the tea leaves, when they move the day game to a night game, that would give them a little bit more time to get more tests results in on Saturday. And that's the way I read that as to why they would move that from a day game to a night game and then maybe potentially play Sunday. Again, rumor, just kind of reading things as we go on the fly. No inside information on that, and then play the doubleheader on Sunday, and away we go. Who knows at this point, but that's where we're at this point, right? You just kind of
Dan, I think you're absolutely right. That you're absolutely right, because sort of the way the drill has worked out, we've learned, is that a test on today, the results get back late tomorrow. So you're on a good point. The Saturday game was moved from the afternoon to the evening, and again, probably to get that test result. And the reason why that's important is that last Thursday was the last day that the Cardinals were together. So that's the last time that the virus could have spread from player to person A to person B. You go to this Friday, that's 8 days at least of a period of time where they would have had to be able to have tests where nobody's come positive. And that 8 days is important because, as we were told by John Mozeliak, last outbreak, they had one case where the incubation period was 8 days from when their contact tracing said the person was exposed until the virus symptoms showed up in that player, in that person. We don't know if it was a player or a coach, but 8 days transpired between when that person was infected, they think, and when they showed the symptoms. So by buying more time, this gives the Cardinals a higher level of confidence that by, you know, having everybody in quarantine, this isn't going to have another outbreak again, because I think everybody agrees another outbreak would just be devastating, not only to the schedule, but also to the psyche and the physical conditioning and preparation of the players.
Yeah, I don't know if they could come back from that. I just don't know. What's interesting and crazy at this point is that you have the first outbreak of players that were positive. Names like Molina and DeJong and Ravello and Whitley and some of the others that, you know, when you look at the numbers here, and I'm trying to think about days and negative tests and trying to come back in time to play, they may not miss time. I mean, think about that, Brian. They could actually have tested positive, feel well enough to come back and play, test negative, be among the players that fit the protocol, and come back and not miss time. That is a scenario that could unfold, correct?
And yes, that absolutely, Dan. And that's another positive benefit by this delay. I talked about the benefit of hopefully no players who are healthy becoming sick. But on the other side of the coin, the players who already were tested, some number of them were asymptomatic. We don't know who because we weren't told that detail. But according to what we've seen from Jose Molina, Yadi was one of those who were asymptomatic. So let's take Yadi as the example. Now he's been able to test, and the case for a person who tested positive, they have to have two negative tests at least 24 hours apart, no fever, antibody test, cardiac evaluation. But if they go through all that, those players are no longer at risk, right? They've been proven that they're past the virus, so they could be, in fact, activated. So you could get Molina, you could get Ravello, you could get DeYoung, you could get Sosa, right? All those guys are kind of in that first batch and have a possibility of maybe being ready to come back this weekend. And that is huge for another reason, not only because of their skill and their talent, but also that there aren't many guys left on the roster down in Springfield to call up.
Well, that's the point that I've tried to make to fans, because a lot of people, whether it's in everyday life or just talking to people about what's going on, they say to me, well, wait a minute, you know, there's this taxi squad. And I say, yeah. And they say that there's a satellite camp down in Springfield. Yeah. Well, why can't they just bring these players up? And I said, well, hold on. It's not that easy, because the idea was that if that happened, if there was a player that was positive, you could replace that player, singular or two, and then bring a player or two up, not 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. And there's 40-man roster implications with this. And that is the problem with this, isn't it, Brian? Because the 40-man implication with this is really difficult to try to explain to the fans, the business side of this and how it affects not only the now, but the future of trying to replace these players.
You're right, Dan. And the problem is that while there are 60 players in the pool, only 40 players are eligible to be called up and play in St. Louis at any given time. And you can't just take 20 guys off and put 20 new guys in. The 20 guys you take off have to be exposed to waivers, which means another organization could grab them. The challenge here is that, as you said, when they created the 60-man pool, they didn't think it would be used for mass substitutions. It would be used for a handful of players here and there. And unless MLB changes their rules to allow more of those players to be added to the active pool, most of the players in Springfield can't come to St. Louis. And in fact, in recognition of that, the Cardinals have players in Springfield like Walker and Mason Wynn and, you know, guys that they just drafted who, you know, would have no business being in St. Louis. They'd be terribly overmatched. So, you know, specifically knowing that they couldn't use all 60, the Cardinals used, you know, half a dozen of those spots for prospects that are, you know, years away from St. Louis.
I would assume that, let's just say for argument's sake, the Cardinals come back and play this weekend. It changes what they do at their roster. I would assume they've got to carry more pitchers than they do position players. Would you agree with that? Because the pitching, they haven't been on the mound. I mean, these guys have got to get innings. So they're going to have to carry more pitching than they maybe would normally do in this type of scenario.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dan. And when the Cardinals came out of the break this last time, the rosters were dropped from 30 to 28 players, and the Cardinals defined their roster at that time as 15 pitchers and 13 position players because, you know, coming out of the first quarantine, they knew pitching would be stressed. Now that's even more the case. But the challenge is, you know, they've got Whitley now who's going to have to go on the IL, we would think. Well, no, Whitley's already on. But they've got other guys that are going to have to go on. And so where do you get, you know, 15 healthy pitchers ready to go? Unfortunately, you know, in hindsight, it was too bad that they brought up Reyes and Cabrera, because then they got exposed, whereas if they could have kept them down in Springfield, they could have kept pitching and, you know, but anyway, that's hindsight. The point is, yes, of the 28, they're going to have a greater balance toward pitching, because pitching is going to be highly stressed, and just on a normal schedule, let alone if they start cramming in all these doubleheaders.
I'm going to be fascinated how Mike Shildt and Mike Maddux try to balance health with, and I'm talking about baseball health, obviously the health of the virus and trying to keep guys safe is number one, but the pitchers specifically trying to balance innings and making sure you don't push guys too hard, because essentially it'd be like telling a fan, oh, by the way, the last 3 weeks of spring training, yeah, the guys are going to have five games and a couple of workouts and then see you on opening day. That's what the Cardinals are facing. That's how to put it in perspective going into playing this weekend. I think you would agree with that.
Yes, and I do agree.
So how do you try to get innings? You know, I mean, you're going to have to piggyback, I would assume. So don't think about a normal five-man rotation. It's maybe going to be an inning here. I mean, you could see times where a guy starts a game, maybe, where a guy is starting a game and he's getting two outs and you see somebody up in the bullpen warming up just in case. I mean, that's what you may have.
It's a possibility. That's the opener, you know, strategy that we've seen other teams around the game use in times of normal health. And I just want to make one more general point. You know, if you just look at what's happening around the game, the teams that had a normal June preparation and are playing a normal schedule right now, the high level of pitching injuries that we're seeing across the game. Now you think about the Cardinals, who are going to have at most a couple of practices, you know, one, you know, maybe guy throw one bullpen before he gets thrown out in a major league mound to pitch against Chicago. I mean, that's a daunting task for anyone. And so, yes, the Cardinals, you know, are going to have not only, of course, their starters ready, but people ready to pitch long relief. Maybe they're just going to have to pitch an inning at a time every couple of days, you know, to try to get through all these games.
What would you do if you're the commissioner in this spot? You know, Mo was on a Zoom. I was on it. I know you were on it. You asked Mo a question the other night about trying to get another update, but, you know, Mo said or was asked about, you know, do you expect to get any kind of concessions from Major League Baseball? And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he did say something to the effect of, well, we'll take any help we can get. And I think Major League Baseball has to look at that, Brian. I mean, it's unfair to try to fit this many games in with the current roster situation. I do believe that. I'm not sure what concessions you can do. I just don't know.
Well, you'd have to make roster changes. You'd have to make some accommodation to expand the 40-man roster, the problem we talked about before, and let more players onto the roster without having to take others off. But that's something that would it be only an accommodation for the COVID teams, or would it be for everyone? And what are the financial salary and service time implications, expense of that? And would other organizations want to do that themselves? Would they be willing to give the Cardinals that advantage? And Derek Gould ran down Rob Manfred Monday, I guess. And, you know, Manfred didn't talk about any potential of making any changes or even studying it. He just made the generic comment, well, that's why everybody's got a 60-man roster. While he didn't, you know, acknowledge that, again, like we discussed, a lot of those players can't be used. So there would have to be some major structural changes. And, again, if that was going to happen, we would be hearing rumblings about it, and it hasn't happened yet.
And you had researched, I believe, how many players in Springfield at that satellite camp are on the 40-man roster. How many are there?
The number is four.
Wow.
Now, again, where we're at right now, Dan, let's step back. The Cardinals had three new cases of players that came positive that are still on the active roster of the 28, supposedly, because they haven't been replaced yet. So there's three players that have to be replaced right away. There are only four players down in Springfield that are on the 40-man roster. Two of them have never played above AA. Well, three of them have never played above AA. Alvaro Cejas, Carlos Sanchez, two pitchers, third baseman, Dilaris Montero. And then the fourth player who does have major league experience briefly is outfielder Justin Williams. And Williams is, you know, the most likely one to be called up. They also have one open 40-man roster spot for, as they put Miles Michaelis on the long-term injured list. So they could add one more player to the mix. But again, we're back to that point that says they've got to find a way to get the Molinas and DeYoungs and that first batch of guys, some of those back, because they simply don't have enough players to activate to get to 28.
And they've also added a catcher down in Springfield, correct?
They did. And again, one of the other byproducts of putting Michaelis on the long-term injured list is that would enable the Cardinals to add another player to their overall 60-man pool. And that's a catcher that the Cardinals drafted a year ago named Pedro Pages. And his name is spelled P-A-G-E-S, but the Hispanic pronunciation is Pages. And he came from Florida Atlantic, good stocky build guy. He played at State College last year and was the best hitter on the State College team. His weighted runs created plus was 149, which is where 100 is average. And I compared that in the Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide to what Andrew Kisner did his first year at a lower level in Johnson City, very comparable. Now, I'm not saying that Pice is going to be the next Kisner, but he's a guy that has some offensive talent. He was one of the many catchers invited to Major League Spring Training Camp way back in March. And so he's a guy with some potential, and they just, you know, with Yadi down, they probably just decided they wanted to have another catcher. They have, so now a total of four catchers down in Springfield, but one of them, Jose Godoy, is, unless something changes, will be the taxi squad catcher, which means he will actually be with St. Louis both at home and on the road.
I think another aspect of this, Brian, is the hitters. We haven't talked about them and timing and how guys can get buried very, very easily. They have not seen live pitching, okay? They haven't seen live pitching for a couple of weeks now since their games in Minnesota. We know those were a struggle offensively. The final game against Pittsburgh was a struggle offensively many weeks ago. The pitching, we're trying to talk about the health of those guys. Now, from a competitive standpoint, just facing live pitching, that has to be a concern, too, for Mike Schilt going into any type of live situation that they may face this weekend. That has to be a major concern, too, for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Absolutely, Dan. I mean, as you correctly pointed out, the offense was hardly firing on all cylinders even before the timeout. And now, you know, they're going to get a couple of games, you know, a couple days of practice probably before they have to go out and face experienced and, you know, conditioned major league pitching, guys who've been throwing every fifth day or been throwing on a normal schedule. And so it's not going to be, you know, simple batting practice like, you know, in the early days of spring training. These are going to be guys, you know, out at the peak form, you know, hunting for blood. And so, you know, it's going to be a tough, tough challenge for the St. Louis Cardinals to play competitive baseball when they get back, even if they were at full strength.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. TheCardinalNation.com, that's Brian Walton. What are you working on? I'm sure you got a ton of information of what we're talking about and really dive deep into that. So tell us what you have at your site.
Yeah, we're just trying mostly to, right now, is to just keep people updated on, you know, what the pause means, you know, what it, in terms of the positive tests and the rosters and all that. And we continue to have other features on other things, you know, like about history and to sort of fill in. But, you know, the primary focus has been on all the implications of the many things we've talked about today.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It'll be interesting to see what we talk about next week at this time, won't it?
Oh, my goodness. Will it ever? That's Brian Walton. We visit with him every Wednesday.